Hey, everybody, this is Jerry, and you're listening to another episode of Beyond the Rut Podcast, a weekly podcast about inspiring and equipping you to make your own path and live the life you've always dreamed of beyond the rut. And I have with me the other host, actually the mastermind behind the show, Brandon Cunningham. Brandon, say hi to the folks listening.
I just realized I need to cut my toenails.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't looked down, which is weird because I'm so short. You'd think that'd be the first thing I saw. I was like, hey, you may want to cut those.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's from all those standing on my toes to talk on this mic. You know, why adjust it when you can stand on your toes and work out your calves?
That's why we take this seriously.
So we want to thank you for joining us. We are not signing off right now, but I'm just so grateful right now. And thank you for tuning in, whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or you discovered us on Google Play Music. We love it. And on top of that, if anything we cover in this show sparked a question, sparked a thought, we'd love to hear from you. So call in at 361-596-3788 and leave us a question, a comment, and we'll put that on a future episode. Brandon, we brought in an awesome guest, a local here in Corpus Christi, Texas, who is probably the first person to listen to our advice and take a leap. So no pressure on her and no pressure on us.
I don't know how well that turned out yet.
So, Brandon, go ahead and introduce our guest for everybody who's listening.
Well, I'm kind of torturing somebody that's been a friend of mine for a while now. And her name's Jamie Rodriguez, and she's been with us. We worked together for a couple of years now, and I've been threatening to bring her on to the podcast as an interview for about 3 or 4 months now.
And here she is.
But she's been listening. So she's one of our millions of listeners out there that we know about anyway. And she started telling me how much she enjoyed it. And it just sparked something in our conversation. So I thought that'd be a great thing to bring on to the podcast and let other people hear from somebody who's done something, not necessarily because of our advice, but she's following along that path to get out of the rut. So she's literally making her own path, and that's why we wanted to bring her on.
And that is awesome. So Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate so you giving me this time.
It's our pleasure too. One thing we like to do when we bring a guest on is we like to hit them with a, not physically, because then we get sued and then we're out of the show.
We don't have anything to sue, so don't sue us. Yeah.
Yeah. That would make my wife very upset at me. Why did you hit her? I'm sorry. But we do have something called an icebreaker, and we didn't invent the term. It apparently was out there and we took it. But we like to ask our guests, what is something about you that we would not know just by looking at you?
Oh, does it count if Brandon knows already?
Sure.
I guess one of the things I've shared with Brandon is by the age of 13, I had written 3 children's books and illustrated.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
When she told me that, I was shocked. I was like, seriously? That is cool.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't think much of it. It was just something I loved to do. I loved to draw at the time. And so, and you know, where the writing came from, I really don't know. It just kind of happened. But yeah.
Now, what are the titles of those 3 books?
Oh.
And can we buy them on Amazon?
Yes, that was my next question.
The last one I did was called A Caterpillar Named Al. I can't tell you where the name Al came from, to be honest.
Okay.
But it now, years later, I don't know if you've heard of Hermie the Caterpillar.
Yes,
yeah.
That was a very similar story to my book.
Oh, man.
That's a great story.
And I always said Max Licato stole my idea.
That's a great story because that's a great example of you have something inside of you that if you don't move on it, somebody like Max Licato will.
Exactly.
And it goes in 2 opposite directions. Yours ends up Major, his ends up in Barnes & Noble.
Man.
Yeah. The first two, I don't recall actually what I named them, but the very first one was a book about a boy who played baseball growing up and dreamed of pitching in the World Series, and everybody told him he couldn't growing up, and he actually made it. My fifth grade teacher loved it so much she made me read it to the principal of the school. Out loud.
I love that. Didn't let me, but made me.
Yes, made me, because I was very shy. So I wouldn't have chosen to do that, but yeah, the 3 books.
Years later, you had no idea you'd be on a podcast.
No. Never.
And so those 3 books, they're not in stores anymore? What happened?
Those are all kept in the house?
Yeah, I regret it to this day, but I guess being as naive and giving at the time as I was at the time, I gave them away.
Did you ever meet older guy named Max? Because maybe that's where he got it. Maybe he stole
it. He's about yay tall, very nice.
We've blown the lid off of Max Licata.
Well, you know, to be honest, I think my mom might have the caterpillar named Al. But the first two I gave to classmates who said they really liked it. I just gave it away.
All right, Jamie's mom, when you're listening to this, go through the attic. Find that book. We got
to
see it.
I'd like to see it too.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And the reason why I'm saying that is we got to bring Jamie back on for a dramatic reading. Yeah. That is it.
That'll be episode 99, a dramatic reading.
Not if she finds it sooner.
I'm not as shy as I used to be, so it probably wouldn't be.
There you go.
That's
too
cool.
Bad.
Cool. Brandon, what's something about you people wouldn't know just by looking at you?
I used to play with the Cavaliers, but once LeBron came, I said, I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. No, in my younger days, I used to be a trainer for David Robinson and Tim Duncan. They went on to do great things.
I'm just going to call the BS flag left and right here.
I think what I love to do, and most people already know this, but what I love to do is to find people who have something inside of them that's either, you know, maybe buried or maybe just hidden, or maybe they've just not been given permission to jump out there and do something with it. And Jamie and I started talking back in December about this trip that she was taking. And I started to see something in her. I said, you know, she's, you know, we work with, you know, somewhere around 80 people in our building and, you know, 450 in the whole organization. But and I know a lot of them. But every once in a while you see somebody, you're like, okay, you don't fit. There's something about you that doesn't work here. And we work in a great place. It's an awesome place to work with great people, but you see somebody that wants to make an impact on the world, and what they're doing is just good. It's just safe. It's just fine, but it's not impactful. And I started to hear those words coming out of her mouth. And when she talked about going on this trip, I just thought it was phenomenal. So what I wanted to do was bring her on and ask, you know, tell a little bit about where you went and what how that impacted you in December.
Yeah, so it was a trip I didn't want to go on at first because I grew up pretty sheltered and scared of everything. It's like, don't take that risk. You know, you might get hurt, you know.
Well, you were talking about Turkin. Fake accent. Talking about what, New York City?
Yes,
okay,
New York
City. I'd be scared too.
You know, you think nowadays, like, okay, it's
I've
New
seen
Year's
West Side
Eve.
Story. Dangerous, dangerous place.
New Year's Eve, with all the terrorist stuff going on, you know, that was the first thought, you know, that's like the place they'd want to bomb, you know, yeah. And I don't want to be there when they do that.
Bunch of people standing in the street.
Exactly.
It's a great target.
But I went with my best friend and her dad and her sister, and at the same time, it's like, you know, you can't really pass up this opportunity. And so, I went, and it was probably the best experience I've had. I did not want to come back. And
tell us more about that experience. Like, what happened that just made it mind-blowing,
you know,
for you?
I just hadn't, you know, New York City for me growing up is a place that I always thought, I never thought I'd be there. You know, you see it in movies, you see it in pictures, and Home Alone was one of my favorite, Home Alone 2 is one of my favorite movies. So, you know, familiar with it from there, but it's not a place I ever thought I would go to.
Yeah. Doesn't really exist. It's just
kind
of a fantasy
it's a faraway
place.
Land and, yeah. You just don't go to. Yeah. Only rich people get to go.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I never thought in a million years I'd go. You know, if you told me months before I went, I was going to be like, yeah, no, I don't think so. But I was there, and you know, just love it. Something about New York City, like they say, is inspiring, and it really is, because you leave there and it's like you just don't want to leave there. You know, there's so much to see, so much to do, but just the atmosphere itself, it was just really an amazing trip. And I just remember being on the plane and looking at the city leaving from me, and, you know, I was like, I can't go back. Like, I just can't go back to my life the way it was, you know. Okay. I you know, it's something inside of me, and you know, just sparked this feeling of, you know, I've got it, something's got to change.
I think
I want to be able to come back here. I want to be able to go to other places that I never dreamed of going.
That's what to me really sparked our conversations, because you came back and you were like, it's almost like I've been given permission now to go places, because I'd, for some reason in my head, had been forbidden from living this life of just going to New York City. And I'm speaking as somebody who's traveled quite a bit, but I've never been to New York City. I was supposed to go on Veterans Day the year 9/11 in 2001, but after 9/11, we were like, well, we can't go this year, obviously. But we did go to D.C. and saw a lot of cool things. But you just kind of had this upbringing of you're not given permission to do these kind of things because you could get hurt, you could get killed, bad things can happen.
Exactly.
And for you, you came back with, it wasn't scary. It's like looking under the bed when you're a kid. You're like, wait a minute, there's nothing under the bed.
Exactly.
It was just in my head.
Yeah.
And when you landed back in Corpus, you described that feeling how?
Did I tell you the exact word I felt? It was
I have to
depressing.
Depressing.
It was depressing.
Yeah. You just felt you like know? You had literally been brought back down.
Exactly.
From this
it's
high.
Like back to, like we say, back to the sentence. You know, you just kind of had your day away from jail and now you're back.
Yeah. You were out on parole.
Exactly.
And then it turns out, no, they made a mistake. You got to come back in. We talk a lot about, we work, it's on the second floor and you walk up the stairs. And we talked a lot about, you walk up those stairs and it's only one flight, but you just feel like you're climbing Mount Everest because you know and again, I love the people we work with. This is not about them, but you have this sense of you're checking yourself back in jail, you know, and you walk in and you grab the door and you slam it shut. And then you sit down and you're just like, I'm here till 5 o'clock and I'm in jail and I can't do anything about it. But those caused conversations where we started talking about making your own path and breaking out of this rut and going beyond, as we've named this podcast, going beyond that rut of safety. You make good money. You've got medical insurance. You know, nobody's going to hurt you at work. You're not going to die. There's nothing dangerous we're doing, but it's too safe because of what's inside of you. And then you and I started talking about your ultimate dream, which is to make a bigger impact on the world.
Yeah. The ultimate goal is, I'd like to have my name brand, my own name brand of, with the basis of inspiring people, toward positivity and seeing things in life differently than they normally do. I feel like people don't really think too hard into the things that occur. It's kind of like, oh, that happened. All right. Let's move past it. Or, they don't take time to really, I guess, think about where they are, where they're going. It's kind of a daily routine. Like, I told you, I drive around the freeway and I see all these cars passing me. And I always think, where are these people headed? Where are they going? Is this just their daily routine? They just live, wake up, do the same thing, go to sleep. It's all over again. Same thing.
Right.
And so get people to think differently so that they can start doing differently. And, but to start that, my best friend and I are going to start a t-shirt business because I feel like one of the best ways to get a message across is on a t-shirt.
And somebody's listening to this right now going, okay, but you probably already know how to do the t-shirts. Your parents are t-shirt business people. You have all the equipment, but none of that's true either,
no,
right?
No, no. And I told you, I watched this whole seminar on sublimation. I didn't know what that was, but, it's a learning experience for both of us. And I'm not related to anybody that makes t-shirts. I don't know anybody that makes t-shirts that I can go to and be like, hey, show me how you do this. So it has been a learning curve, but it's also been a great process, up to this point. And I've learned a lot and still learning. That's where it's going to start is, making t-shirts, but not starting out with just t-shirts for my brand. It's just going to be t-shirt making, just general t-shirts, uniforms, things like that. But eventually I want to incorporate my brand in that. But it's like I gotta be able to make the t-shirts first.
gotta fund the dream.
Exactly. So that's where it's starting.
There was something Brandon said in a previous episode. I think he said it to you actually, because he's name dropped you a few times.
Yes.
<in our show.
laughs> And I've told him thank you for that.
it was something along the lines of, you can never perfect your second product if you never get a first one out there.
Yes.
And
yeah, so I said that.
I think I just heard that conversation come back up. Now it's in person in front of my face. Like, wow, this is so cool. Now, have you guys come across any like naysayers? And if so, how have you handled them?
Well, when I told my I wouldn't say naysayer so much, but you kind of get that shocked or that like, really? Like, mm-hmm. you sure this is a good idea? You know? Yeah. But in the end, they're positive and they're very supportive. But,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, when I told my parents, they're just kind of like, well, I mean, you're sure? And they kind of thought it's kind of something she wants to do.
Yeah, so it'll wear off.
When I came back like a few days later, or a week later, to say, look at what we bought, and they're like, oh, wow, you're serious.
We're setting up shop.
It's kind of like when they bought me my first keyboard. They're like, okay, yeah, she wants to learn. And little did they know I was really going to learn.
It's funny, too, because you always want to surround yourself with people that will challenge you, but you need people that are just cheerleaders that will, say, I believe you can do this. And I don't have any idea whether, the T-shirt business is a good or bad business, but it's a tempting something. And to back up a little bit, too, the fact that, you're in your mid-30s, you've got a really good job with benefits, and if you work there 30 years, you retire, you'll have a pension, and your life will be fine. But you will still do, maybe not the same thing, but you'll still be basically contributing to somebody else's dream, not your dream. And to me, that's what makes you unique, because you're willing to take that chance and say, I don't know the T-shirt business, but I would use the T-shirt business to fund my dream. And then in a previous episode, we talked about finances. And one of the things that impressed me about Jamie is she's got her finances in place. She didn't save up a bunch of money and can just go buy all the equipment, but she's managed her debt. She's kept her life within her means so she can make these choices. Because if this was, a situation where you had $50,000 worth of debt, you have to keep your job. You have to keep your medical insurance. You can't even risk any of that stuff. And we were talking the other day about medical insurance. That's another big fear. It's like, well, what do? We got good medical insurance. Now we're going to branch out. We won't have medical insurance. And one of the things she said to me was, well, how do you buy medical insurance? I don't really know. I've never had to buy medical insurance. That's a good question. Let's figure that out. But it's a chance, and you took it even though you didn't know the answer. So people that are listening, I just want to make sure they understand you started this because it was inside you, not because you had any answers.
Exactly.
You had to start finding the answers.
Yeah, and growing up, I kind of had that entrepreneurship spirit, because even growing up, we're always, hey, let's make popcorn and popsicles and sell them on the side of the street. And we would make like $20 to $50 just on, awesome. A few hours. And, I would go and knock on neighbors' doors and say, hey, can I rake your leaves for whatever, you want to give? And that was just what I did, And I didn't come from, a rich family, but, we had what we needed. But, it's just, I'm not going to ask my parents for money, So
that's a good clue if you're a Cunningham kid listening. Don't ask your parents for money.
And,
you beat me to it. I was going to say same thing about the Dugan kids.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of something that I tucked away for years, but it's still always been there. And like I say, when I came back from New York, it was just like, I got to do this. I got to at least try. Mm-hmm. And like y'all said on your show, what's the fear or the hurt in trying, if you fail, well, you can always go back to what you were doing before.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite line in the movie Braveheart is this is right before he goes into the trap, of course, so ignore that part. But it's his friends are trying to talk William Wallace out of going to meet with the King of Scotland, and William Wallace turns around and says to his buddies, what happens if we do nothing? And they're like, I don't know. And he just said nothing, and then he gets on his horse and he goes. Granted, it was a trap, and disembowel him and quarter him, but
turn the show off at that moment.
And then after that horrible incident, the King of Scotland had a big moment of remorse. I think the true story is he killed somebody in a church, and that's even worse.
Yeah.
But it galvanized that King of Scotland to really rise up and make the most out of the stuff he did wrong. And they actually did make Scotland free for a while. And so that, I think, was what the message really was with William Wallace, is if I don't go meet this guy, it's going to be the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going because it's going to be a catalyst one way or another. And it sounds like that's what you've done, is one way or another, this is going forward. I'm not going to sit here in another year and say, gosh, I wish I did something.
Exactly.
I went for it. I'm doing it. And who knows? I mean, do you have any guarantees that you're going to succeed?
No, but I got to try.
But in a previous episode, too, we talked about how to leave a job. You know, and one of the things you did about a week ago, I guess,
yes,
is you sat down with our bosses and said, you know, this is just a dream. Talk a little bit about, I know that was an anxious moment to go talk about that.
I didn't know how to approach it, and I didn't know if I even should, or just, you know, kind of wait till I'm ready to leave and just put my 2 weeks and that's it, you know. But I knew they were kind of investing in me for future, you know, projects, future, you know, kind of to be something within the company. Yeah. Everybody saw it. And
Jamie's kind of a star around our place. Everybody likes Jamie. Nobody wants. There are people we would like to leave. Jamie's not one of them.
And so it's like, how do you tell? The thing that kept coming through my mind was, how do you tell your boss, I'm going to leave, I just don't know when? Because that kind of puts them in a position of, well, do we hire somebody else now? Do we kind of try and push her out? Because we need to get somebody here who's going to be here for a while. Right. But they were very supportive, and it did not go the way it went in my head.
The 12 hours of torment leading up to that.
It's like, why did I, you know, wait so long?
All of a sudden you got Brandon's office, and he got moved to a broom closet.
Yeah, exactly. You can leave now. Get out.
And it's like they said, it's not, it's, you know, that we're happy you're leaving. It's, we're happy you're going to do something that makes you happy.
Yeah.
And right. So that was great to hear. And yeah, it just went much better than I thought it was. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't.
I like it because you came to my, or you text me, I think, and you said, you'll never believe what I did or something. And then she very cruelly said, but I'll have to tell you later. I got to go do something. I'm like, okay, seriously? So now I got to wait like most of the day to hear this whole story.
They sent me to Flower Bluff.
Yeah, she had to go do some stuff. But what was funny is we've been talking all along about, you know, why are you even still here? And you know, Jamie knows that I absolutely love her, want her there, think she does a great job. But I wanted her to go do this because I could tell it was in her heart. And so it was hard for me because I knew things that the rest of them didn't know. And it was, she was struggling because they were putting her in this program for leadership.
Yes.
And she really didn't even want to apply for it. But everybody said, you got to get in it. You got to get in it. So she did. But then she felt guilty because she's like, I know I'm not here long term. I'm a year, maybe max. And then we started arguing with each other who was going to leave first. And she clearly has beat me to the punch. But I wouldn't say it was guilt as much as, you know, something was inside of you saying, you know, don't say this because it's a risk. But then something even greater inside of you was saying, you know, but I want you for something better. We obviously know that was God, but that feeling of I've got to go do something and I can't lie to the people that I actually work for and I care about what that is.
Exactly. That's what I told him. I mean, I respect you and, you know, enough to tell you and give you a heads up of where my life is going right now and the changes just in the past, just this year, you know, it's like a whole 180 and, you know, and you know, like, again, they were very supportive, but yeah, it's always, it's something that's always been there again. And, and you know, it's just, it's not something you can just kind of leave off forever because it's always there and you're going to feel it and you just got to follow it.
Okay. So you didn't just like willy-nilly say, that's it, take this job and shove it, I'm making t-shirts.
Yep. No.
Okay, so tell folks who are listening right now a little bit more about the plan you have in place. So you kept your day job, and you're in business with your best friend, so you're doing both. Tell us more about that and what that looks like so that there might be somebody listening who wants to do the same thing.
Yeah, and right now it's still a work in progress. We're not actually up and running yet, if you want to say. Just trying to get the website up, but it's been, you know, we've got this list of, we want to have certain things in place before we actually start making a product. And I know we've talked about that too. You know, we are going to get there.
Can we get a clock ticking noise to play?
We are going to get there. But I guess that's my nature again of let's make sure, you know, everything is in order. Yeah. You know, I'm diving in, but I'm still kind of careful.
Okay. Diving in slow motion.
Exactly. But I think it's going to hit full speed, hopefully, real soon. And so it's just, you know, building up, getting, you know, your POS system, getting your website up. You know, at first we thought, well, we'll start without a website, but then it's pretty important now. People want to go to a website. And
yeah.
Like, you don't have a website? You're not a real company.
Exactly.
It's like the first thing we check out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Are they real? No
website. Just go to google.com.
Look in the phone book.
One of the good things you did, too, with talking to your boss about leaving was you set a clock ticking. So you kind of, now you've set yourself out publicly to say you're leaving. So if you're, and I told you this the other day, if you're still here a year from now, everybody's going to be like, hey, remember that time Jamie quit, but like really didn't quit?
Oh, here she comes to quit again.
Yeah. How many times you quit in this
year?
That's
why I told him, let's leave it between management for now, because I don't want everybody looking at me every day like, oh, okay, she's back. She's still here. When are you leaving? Exactly. So yes, I felt, that's another reason why I felt that I needed to do it sooner than later, to give myself that accountability. Okay, mm-hmm. They know I can't let this thing drag on for so long because they're waiting, and you know, it's just something I got to do. So,
and that's good. You built these kind of artificial barriers that are keeping you accountable. You know, you've told people, now you're on a podcast, and so, you know, 6 months from now, you're either going to look back and go, I'm still at Navy Army, we've still not produced one shirt, and I still hadn't done this, or you're going to be able to say, we've done this, 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 and this. Some of it worked, some of it didn't. We've changed this, we've changed that, and now I'm where I want to be.
Yes, exactly.
That accountability is huge, because it's kind of like saying, I'm going to lose weight, but nobody knows it. You don't really have to do it. You're like, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore.
And then nobody ever knows, and it's like, I could fail. So the stakes are higher when you do let people know. Mm-hmm. And you even find, I think, some cheerleaders from your leadership, because I have that experience going on with my manager. I was wondering, is it okay if she shares some of those things that she has to have in place before she leaves corporate life altogether?
Yeah, the main thing is insurance, as we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
That pretty much, I mean,
like, what kind of insurance?
Health,
like
medical, health, dental.
Okay, so
medical, dental.
That's right, because then we get hit on our taxes.
Exactly. I said, man, now I have to have it. The good thing is I have 60 days to get it once I leave my job, is what I've learned recently. But it's learning that too. I mean, I don't know anything about getting insurance, and my best friend gave me a contact that was really, really good, worked out. So I'm going to meet with that lady to go over plans and figure out what the best one is for me now. Okay. And as I was telling Brandon, it can change, you can get 6 month term and change it if I need to, if I can't afford that much at the time.
Okay.
Medical and dental insurance right now is the biggest thing. I think once I have that, then I'll feel more comfortable with just leaving.
That's the beauty of the way you're doing it too. You didn't know the industry, you didn't know the answers, but you asked the questions. And where we live now in 2016 with computers, you can ask all kinds of questions. So you don't have to know, well, what are all these different insurance plans? What are the tax implications? How do I do this? And what are the rules? And you're going to break some rules. And that's okay, because you're going to learn from that. And then you're going to move on down the line. Another thing that Jamie did that's really makes her one of the most impressive people to me is she has gotten her health in a place where she's very strong and fit and healthy. She's not eating at McDonald's all the time. Yeah, because most of us say, it's like, well, you don't want to quit your job with good medical insurance if you're not going to have it and be in bad shape. Because you're going to have issues. You're going to take pills and you're going to have to do all this kind of stuff. So try to get yourself as healthy as possible. Also for the stamina, the energy of running a business and figuring all this out, and the stress of, we got told no 100 times. So, how do we deal with that?
Yeah.
That's a very important part.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about building a business, nothing at all. And so, going online and figuring out, okay, I need my sales tax permit, and how do I get that? And do I need a tax ID number, and realize I don't have employees right now.
There you go.
It's just, learning. And I told Brandon, like, this is too easy. Like, I'm waiting for something wrong to happen, some big block that's going to prevent me from doing this. Yeah. But it was not there until, what did I tell you?
Until you asked the question until you moved to the next thing or something.
Yeah, there was something I moved to, and I can't remember what it was. And I was like, this is why people don't do this on a regular basis.
Google's very valuable for things other than, cat videos. You can look up stuff on Google that's valuable to you and learn things. And it's free. You've learned all of this on your own. No one in your family had big businesses to mentor you or teach you or anything. It's just a matter of, well, why can't I ask the question? somebody has to come along and give you permission, or you just got to say, I got permission. I'm moving forward. I'm not going to wait on somebody else.
I think it was learning about the sales tax and how often you pay and how that whole thing works. I think that's what it was. And right. I was like, I don't understand this.
And that's why God gifted us with accountants and people like that. Keep us out of jail.
Exactly.
Got to awesome. Pay your taxes.
So we'll probably have to have Jamie come teach us about sales tax and all those things before we start launching our first product. Whatever that is.
I think that's what made us enjoy each other. Just our conversations were mutually encouraging because I would tell Jamie, well, you know, she would come to me and say this, and this, and I'd say, well, why don't you try this, and this? And then it would almost always end with her going, well, okay, well, what are you doing? You know, it's like, well, wait a minute, you told me you were going to do some stuff. So when it's not a one-way accountability thing here. Yeah, and I'm awesome. Like, well, yeah. At what point do I lose all credibility because I hadn't accomplished stuff?
I'm dancing with joy here.
It's just a matter of making that ask and going out there and trying to figure it out. And to me, the story is great because you just took yourself out of that rut. You didn't get fired. You didn't face some sort of tragedy. Mm-hmm. You just said, I'm going to make my life what I want it to make. And prior to December, you really didn't travel a whole lot by yourself, kind of just this, I'm going to go do these things. But you were telling me about a trip that's coming up or one that you want to do in, is it Kentucky?
Louisville, Kentucky. Yes. Yeah. Underground. Well, it's a cavern that's got zip lining in it and bike trails. And yeah, it is. Yeah. It looks so awesome. You have to look it up.
How many people can say they've ziplined underground?
Exactly.
That's what I told her. I said, if nothing else, you get to come back and go, yeah, I've ziplined underground.
I've ziplined above ground, yeah. But never underground.
Yeah, and you go, oh, you just ziplined above ground?
That's
everybody
cool.
can do that.
When we have her back on to the dramatic reading of the caterpillar named Al?
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be while she's ziplining underground, and we'll just hook her up with the Roland and just have her reading as she's
trying. I will do it.
There we go. We got the next episode planned.
We'll get Max on here, and we'll confront him about stealing that book, too.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, I had traveled. Yeah, I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been in New Mexico. When I was 9, we went to Florida for Walt Disney World, but there was just something about this trip that was totally different. And I just think, really, what it came down to was God's timing. He's like, okay, you've reached, you know, a point where I want you to pursue something else now.
Now you're ready.
Exactly.
We had posted an article way back about how to expand your mind. I think maybe part of what happened was you saw New York City, its size, its scope. Which airport did you fly out of?
Let's see if I can pronounce this right.
LaGuardia.
Yeah. And then you come back to Corpus Christi with its 5 gates. We're an international. I'm doing this with air quotes.
Do we have 3 baggage claims or 2 baggage claims?
2. I think and they only use 1.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's an international airport that has no international flights.
Hey, we fly to Mexico.
I don't think we do anymore. I'll have to double check.
Okay, I'll take the sign down.
Yeah. And so to go from New York, that is big, that has always grown, and then you come back to Corpus Christi that has always stayed small.
The beauty, too, is I think your story tells people that anybody can do it. You know, you didn't have, although you're very intelligent and you had skills, you didn't have the special skills that you needed. What you really did was just follow where God was leading you. You answered that call because you had said one time in my office about how you had trouble sleeping because you knew you were supposed to do something different. And I think if you're listening to this going, well, you know, that's great for Jamie, but I don't have that problem. Maybe that's not you. But if you're listening to this thinking, yeah, I can't sleep at night. There's things on the weekends that bother me. I can't just relax. It's because something inside of you is telling you to go out and make an impact. And I was listening to Jeff Goins today, and he made the comment that, you know, don't try to get paid for something that you just enjoy doing. Do something that makes an impact and get somebody to pay you for that. Then your life will be complete because you know what you're doing makes an impact. And I believe fully that that's what you're going to do because you have a long-term goal of speaking and encouraging and lifting other people up. It's not just about making you great. It's about making everybody around you great. And that's a successful plan that works every time.
All right, Jamie, we're going to give you the last word. So any last piece of advice you want to give our listeners right now?
You can even sing if you would like to because I know that you can sing.
Hey,
I met her dad.
Your mom just texted. She found a caterpillar named Al. No,
she's on her way.
You know, it's like, you know, you said that yes, you can continue doing what you're doing and work where you work if that's what you enjoy doing and that's your passion, great, you know. But for those that have that same thing that I had inside and that you have, you guys have, that is pushing you to do something bigger and greater, it's not because we're better than anybody else, it's just God chooses who he wants. You know, if he calls you to do something, you know, you just, you've got to follow it and don't be scared because, if, you know, he's leading the path, then everything's going to be okay. Yeah. Don't be afraid to dive in and take that risk because, you know, in the end, it's your life. And right. If you're not doing what you love to do or what has been put inside you to do, then I mean, you're going to die miserable pretty much. You're going to die with that regret.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's no going back. And now's the time because tomorrow's not guaranteed to anybody.
Right. Be more scared of mediocrity than you are of failure. Yeah. And, exactly. And then you'll be okay.
It's okay to be different.
There you go.
Awesome. So we want to thank you, Jamie, for being on our show.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you, our listeners, for listening to us, and not just listening to us, but subscribing to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music. And not just that, guys, we also thank you for sharing us with your family, your friends, and that neighbor across the street. You know the one, we talked about him and when we had Jared Easley on the show.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So subscribe, keep listening, share us with a family, a friend, a coworker. And you never know, you might change somebody's life one way or another, and hopefully for the positive. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Beyond the Rut Podcast.
So all right.
No, I'm kidding.
Sometimes it just gets weird.
What did you put in the water?
The sad part about it is, even if y'all weren't here, we would be acting this way.
This would be us normally. Okay. So here we go in 3, 2, 1.